This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Spending a moment to think about NATO and the European Union and the threat felt because of the Ukraine war. But then there is this other detail. There's an election imminent in Russia. Mr. Putin is running again for president, which is about as close to being a dictator as you can get right now. The death of a man named Navalny. What does that mean for Europe? Yes, we see the fighting in Ukraine. Yes, we see the defeat in Avdiivka. Yes, we see that Ukraine's out of shells. But when we come to Navalny's death, that's a blow to freedom lovers everywhere, especially to what you'd have to say is the ability of countries to deal with Russian agents coming into them and murdering people. 2005, Litvinenko. 2015, Nemtsov at the Kremlin. 2018, the poisoning of Skripals, father and daughter in the United Kingdom. 2020, the Novichok poisoning of Navalny on his way from Siberia, and now the death of Navalny. This is more than just guns and shell fire. This is about not respecting sovereignty and sending your agents to murder your opponents. Judy, is that going to move the European Union or UK in a fresh way?
If it doesn't, it'll be very disappointing. The death of Navalny is about the death of an immensely courageous man who really wanted to give Russia a brighter future. And what he symbolizes also is the courage of the Ukrainians. Courage is such a special value. It's such a special element in human nature. Navalny epitomized this, and the Ukrainians are doing this. And somehow the Europeans are not recognizing that courage is about defending freedom and taking huge risks to do this on behalf of other people and the citizens. And it's very hard to gauge if the Europeans are really shaken about this. Yes, they'll complain. Yes, this is terrible. Oh, yes, Mr. Putin is a killer and so on. But what consequences are they going to draw on this? Are they going to draw the consequences that this is all the more reason why the Europeans should defend the courageous people of Ukraine against this dictatorial Russia?
I use the timeline about these events. There are others to talk about to demonstrate to myself that Putin hasn't changed. That Putin has been the person we have in the Kremlin now. There wasn't some transformation in 2014 or 2022 when he launched the attacks on Ukraine. The man is a cutthroat. It's an old-fashioned word. And Europe knows this. Has Europe adjusted to that fact? Has it accepted that this is not about killing your enemies, former KGB agents like Litvinenko? This is a man who has no respect for the law, and he's put together an apparatus that it mocks the laws of Europe.
If the Europeans did recognize this and really integrate it into their mindset on making decisions, the attitude towards Ukraine, I think, would be much more robust, and it would be based on the element that Ukraine must win rather than allow Putin to continue the carnage which he did in Chechnya, which he did in Syria, which he did in eastern Ukraine in 2014. Remember, the war in Ukraine is 10 years old, and which he's doing now in large parts of Ukraine. If the Europeans don't understand this by now, then it's a terrible tragedy on the European ability to embrace courage and to actually match courage with deeds for Ukraine.
There are other freedom-loving dissidents who are in Europe right now. I wonder whether we're looking at the beginning of an assassination reign. However, I turn to Linas Kolhala, director of the Eastern European Studies Center at Vilnius. This is Lithuania. Lithuania is directly threatened by the Russians because Belarus is across the border. Belarus has abused Lithuania for some time. I know that they were pushing immigrants across the barrier, thinking they burden Lithuania. There's a lot of bad actors in Belarus, too. But I come to this remark by Linas Kolhala. We find ourselves in a paradox. On one hand, British Defense Secretary Grant Shapps admits that we are, quote, moving from a post-war to pre-war world. A usually cautious intelligence and defense officials from countries ranging from Denmark to the Netherlands have issued warnings about Russia's imminent threat to NATO. A post-war to a pre-war world. that is about as scary as it gets. Is that understood across Europe, or is that something that's still seen as fiction?
It's not seen as fiction because it's not discussed. And the fact that it took a Lithuanian to say this just highlights the huge divisions inside the European Union about the threats they perceive. The Baltic states, Poland, the other countries in East Central Europe understand this, and they are in this kind of pre-war mindset, and they are spending more on defense, training, and so many other elements to defend themselves and to defend Ukraine. And it's just not seeping in, as Camille Grand said about the four big countries, the Dutch, the French, the Germans, even the Spaniards, the Italians. These are the old West Europeans. Oh, well, we managed. We got through we overcame the Second World War. Yes, thanks to the United States. But we have serious divisions now over the nature of the threats. And the fact that Linus mentions the pre-war element rather than the post-war, yes, that is something to really take on board and to look at the world differently and what's happening in Europe at the moment.
Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe, she's in Berlin, asking her colleagues, is defense a priority across Europe? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.